Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Five Rounds Podcast, the only podcast out there with a cardio for those deep water championship rounds. I am Mags, and Carlos, I wasn't able to make the card tonight, so I'm flying solo, so it'll be probably a relatively short show. Quickly get through the results of these prelims and early prelims. So we started the card with Sasha Palatnikov picking up the third round KO against Luis Kosker. Kyle Dorcas in the middleweight picked up a decision against Dustin Stoltzfus, and Alan Juban picked up a decision against Jared Gooden in the welterweights. Then we went on to the televised prelims. We got Nicholas Dolby picking up a decision against Daniel Rodriguez in the welterweight. In the flyweight division for the women's, we got Antonina Shevchenko picking up the KO in the second round against Ariane Lipska. Going to the men's middleweight, we got another second round KO with Joaquin Buckley beating Jordan Wright. And then in the featured prelim, we got the first round KO of Brandon Moreo beating Brandon Royval in a... This was technically a KO, but he literally ripped Brandon Royval's arm out of its socket. Yeah, pretty brutal match. Going on to the main card, we had five fights on this main card for UFC 255. Started with a rematch from last year's split decision draw, with Paul Craig taking on Shogun Hua. And in the interviews pre-fight, Paul Craig said he wanted to kind of put this to bed. It's been something that took a long time of his career, and he wanted to basically bring the fire to Shogun, and he absolutely did that. Started very hot with a lot of kicks. Shogun was started to give them back, but Paul Craig's kicks just had a lot of power and kind of stank behind them. Hua was able to run forward and land some good shots, and was able to push Craig towards the outside of the octagon and with his back up against the cage, but a great level change, and Paul Craig was able to get the takedown. I was able to basically control Hua on the floor. Hua was able to get back up, and whilst Craig tried to hold for the guillotine, Shogun was able to struggle out, but then Craig was able to land a few knee shots and able to drag Hua back down to the canvas. Hua had an attempt to try and sweep the takedown, but Craig was able to roll through. Eventually does get back to his feet, but knowing he had the advantage in takedowns and the ability to control, Paul Craig was able to get Hua back down to the floor, and was able to really kind of like dominate in this first round. Coming into the second, and Paul Craig again starts with the front kicks. Hua again trying to rush and land those kind of like blitzkrieg almost kind of combinations, but he walked into a very stiff jab. Craig started to switch up and go for head kicks and leg kicks, and then was able to go for the level change, but he was able to successful in kind of stuffing the takedown, but was forced up against the fence, which meant that Craig was able to adjust his grip and drag Hua down to the ground. Hua did try and scramble, but Craig was able to just transition into the back. Hua did really well in getting out of this position, and was able to basically stop Paul Craig from taking control of his back and then locking in a rear naked. He was trying to like switch over, but Craig was able to pin him off balance on and onto the floor. Was able to get on his back and look into punch. Hua tried to cover up, but he was led down flat, taking punches, and was basically just turtling up and gave Herb Dean no option to call the fight. It did look like Hua was going to tap from the punches, but I think Herb Dean called it just in time, and Paul Craig picks up the victory and kind of puts to bed this year-long rivalry between the two. Going into the second fight, we went into the women's flyweight division, a division that we feature heavily on this card, with Cynthia Calvillo looking to really push for a flyweight title match after doing really well at strawweight and then dropping down and taking out some really big hitters in this division. She's coming up against the former number one contender and former title challenger, Katlyn Chookagian. And this was as dominant a performance from Chookagian as we've seen in a very, very long time. Chookagian, obviously, not someone who's known to finish fights or be finished and regularly goes to the decision, the judge's decision. And all the way through this fight, it was very much one-sided because of the sheer difference in size between the two ladies. Chookagian was much, much taller, much longer reach, and she was able to, for long periods of the fight, able to keep Calvillo at distance using those very dynamic kicks and shots that she was able to. And she, over the space of the three rounds, she really got very confident with the shots she was taking, really tried to mix it up. When Calvillo was able to get inside the pocket of Chookagian, she did land some very hard, heavy shots, but unfortunately Chookagian did really well to be able to keep that a minimum, was able to win this fight through sheer volume rather than through damage. That being said, going into the third round, she tagged Calvillo enough that she cut a face and a nose up, but again, like I said, this was not through power, this was more through volume. Chookagian had just amazing cardio to keep this very, very high pace up all the way through the fight, and was able to really frustrate Calvillo. And this is very kind of surprising, really, because Calvillo was able to dominate Jennifer Meyer, who was in a title fight later on in the show, but yet she was not able to really have any answer for Chookagian. So Chookagian picked up the 30-27 across the board victory, and it's looking likely that she'll be the next challenger for Valentina Shevchenko or Jennifer Meyer, depending on who wins. We'll speak about that later on. Going on to the middle of this main card, and we get probably the most controversial fighter on the card with Mark Perry. This kid just frustrates the hell out of me and Carlos on five rounds, because he's got all the potential in the world, but it just seems to be he gets in his own way. All this palaver about having no corner men, having his incredibly heavily pregnant girlfriend cornering him, the online spat that he's having with Darren Till, who's wanting to really kind of take this kid under his wing almost, and really kind of help Mark Perry, but he just doesn't seem to have the right mentality. I mean, this is a guy who struggled with weight cutting, made a massive issue about the fact that he missed weight, was really kind of like feeling sorry for himself on social media, talking about how maybe he doesn't want it anymore in terms of the fight career and how he struggled with weight cut. But then in the same breath, he's sending his opponent Tim Means Instagram pictures of him eating cheeseburgers and pizzas and really kind of rubbing it in Tim Means' face. It was a It was a really weird kind of build up to this fight from Matt Perry. Anyway, getting into the fight, and Matt Perry actually started really, really well. Almost landed a massive left hand. He took a few leg kicks from Tim Means, but he was able to land a lot of his own shots. Went for the takedown shot. Wrapped his body and muscled his way into a trip. Got past the full guard. Got the back. Was looking for a choke. Tim Means really struggling in this first like couple of minutes of the fight to defend on the back. But once Matt Perry got the arms in place for the choke and was able to lock it on, Tim Means really calmly and confidently took his time and was able to spin out and then get back to the feet, land a couple of shots. But Matt Perry kind of like really dominated that first round and took it for me. Even though Tim Means did land a couple of the good shots to round it out. Into the second round, Tim Means really turned up the pace, started landing a lot more shots. He was able to land those longer, rangier punches and was able to kind of slip a lot of the shots that Matt Perry started to throw. Matt Perry did land a big shot and went for a takedown, but it was blocked and stuffed by Tim Means. Tim Means was able to, like I said, land a lot more of his own shots in this one. Matt Perry was as aggressive as he normally is, but the volume here won the round for Tim Means and meant that going into the third, we were looking at a basically one-round fight. Now, this round was absolutely everything. It was such a great round. Lots of big shots by both guys. There was a period of about 30 to 40 seconds where they were just absolutely wailing on each other, properly just punching the life out of each other. But Tim Means was able to take enough damage himself, but dish out just that little bit more, and was able to cut up Matt Perry's face, landing the much cleaner, crisper shots. Perry was very much like a wild animal with his shots, where Tim Means was much more concentrated and efficient. It was just ended up coming up to the last 30, 40 seconds, and he was able to just pick Matt Perry apart. Very, very accurate. His movement, his head movement was absolutely on point. And it was a very good way to end the fight for Tim Means, especially after that kind of that first couple of rounds, which was very tight. He just turned up the volume, turned up the accuracy, and was able to get the win that he absolutely deserved. Going into the first of our title matches and the first of our flyweight title matches with the women's title match on the line, with dominant champion Valentina Shevchenko taking on Jennifer Maia. And this was it started in a very untypical Shevchenko kind of fight. She was very quick to land those kicks that we know her for, and the punches, but she quickly took Jennifer Maia to the ground, which for someone who basically has very, very high level BJJ, it was an interesting tactic for her to take Maia down. But she was able to really control Jennifer Maia with the head in on the shoulders, getting the shoulder shots in, getting just the very digging punches into the ribs, the punches and the elbows when into the face. And every time that Jennifer Maia tried to tie things up and kind of rework her position, Shevchenko was able to land enough shots that it kept Maia frustrated and was not able to kind of better her place. we literally spent 4 minutes and 30 seconds of the first round on the floor watching Shevchenko light up Jennifer Maia with shots, and Jennifer Maia trying her best to kind of like break free, and was unable to get to the second round. And it was kind of like the first time in such a long time that we've seen Shevchenko get dominated in a round. I think the last time she actually lost a round was against Joanna. So this was something strange to watch. Jennifer Maia using her strength and her power to kind of bully Shevchenko up against the fence, wrap the body up. And when Shevchenko tried to land shots and pull away, Maia was able to just use that power and just hold her up against the fence and push her back. She ended up getting the takedown, and she ended up being inside Shevchenko's guard. Shevchenko tried to push away, but Maya's BJJ intelligence was so good that she had Shevchenko high up against the back of the cage, and was able to use her head and shoulders to mean that Shevchenko would have to go underneath Jennifer Maia to be able to try and get to the feet, which she was not able to do. She tried to use the fence to do a bit of fence walking and kick over, but Maya's adjustments was just so clever that she was able to keep the control on this second round, and she really kind of nullified that first round of Shevchenko's. Going into the third round with it all to play for, this is where we saw more of the Shevchenko that we used to see in the dominant Shevchenko, where she was able to slip in, get her shots that she wants. Maia still very much used that strength of hers and that muscle to get some clinch game up against the cage, but Shevchenko was able to land a lot more shots in this round and really start kind of turning up the pace. Shevchenko scored a really heavy slam and was able to get side control, but Maia was quickly able to get that into half guard, and she was trying to do the same that she did in the first round, where she was trying to lock things down from underneath and kind of tie Shevchenko up to hopefully get the ref to step in and restart. They eventually did get back to the feet when Shevchenko started landing knees to the body, and Maia trying to press in up against the cage again, but was eating a lot of those short punches and elbows that Shevchenko's very much known for. She ends up with a takedown right at the end of the round and finishes the round in top position. And really, this was the start of Shevchenko walking away with this fight. Coming into the fourth round, Maia started pretty fresh, wanted to push the pace, but walks into a massive left from Shevchenko, which was followed up by a big Superman punch. This didn't really kind of put Maia off, and she was still wanting to push the pace, but she was just getting lit up with punches. Shevchenko using her great like head and body movement to basically land her combinations and get out the way of anything that was coming back towards her. Maia really, again, she just wanted to kind of control Shevchenko, maybe try and use what has been semi-successful in the first few rounds and get her up against the cage, but Shevchenko was able to kind of ward her off quite a lot and still land all the shots. There was a point where Shevchenko was almost caught in the clinch, but as soon as the clinch came in, she wrapped up the body, got the trip, and took the action down to the ground. Again, Jennifer Maia with that elite level BJJ was able to get into half guard, trying to again tie things up, so the ref had no option but to stand both ladies up for not working. But Shevchenko was so good at making space to get her shots out, and she really works that kind of shoulder shot that Conor McGregor recently made famous to land shots. her head control was so good as well for Shevchenko. She was able to bully Maya into the positions that she needed to be in. Maya tried to scramble, which meant that Shevchenko was able to take her back. Maya really had to work hard to not get stuck in a position where she was able to be subbed. So she went back to where she were with her back on the canvas, trying to do the tie-ups. Shevchenko landing the short punches and elbows, and again another dominant round for Bullet Valentina. Going into the fifth and final round, and it looked like Maya needed something big to win this fight. And to fair play to her, she gave it her all. She was able to get the action down onto the ground and hopefully get a submission, which I think was her only kind of option of winning this fight now. But every time Shevchenko had the smallest bit of space, you could see her just loading up her shots and smashing Maya in this fifth round. Her nose got bust up and she was bleeding. When she got when Maya was able to get the clinch against the fence, Shevchenko was able to use those knees to really cause more damage to the face of Maya. Loads of blood pouring over the legs of Shevchenko after those shots. Maya really tried to control against the fence and really try to make something work, but unfortunately she was just coming up against someone who was at the very, very top of the game. Props to Jennifer Maya for being able to go five rounds with one of the better fighters in the world, but after one round in the second, she was absolutely dominated in this fight, and Valentina Shevchenko retained that flyweight title and is probably going to be looking at facing Katlyn Chookagian again in the very near future. So then we go on to the main event, the fight this card was built around, Davison Figueiredo taking on Alex Perez. Davison Figueiredo has been an absolute killer in this division, and coming into this fight he looked huge compared to Perez. It looked like he packed on at least a good 25, maybe even like 30 pounds in weight. He just looked like an absolute specimen. And he just the kind of confidence he's got in himself, the way he switches stance from southpaw to regular, he's just oozing with confidence, and it really showed through on this. Figueiredo was quite patient at the beginning, really kind of waiting with that very wide stance to land some shots. And once he started with those kicks, you could really kind of hear the echo when they landed. One to the body, just it looked like it knocked all the wind out of Perez's lungs. Perez then threw a couple himself. He landed one kick to the leg and then followed it up instantly with a kick to the body, and that one added a lot of stank on it as well. Perez was able to catch a leg and went for the single, but was unable at the beginning to take Figueiredo down. He was able to hop to the fence. He lifted Figueiredo's leg high up as he could, almost in the straight up splits position, and was actually able to get Figueiredo off balance and on the floor. And then we had a little bit of scrambling where both guys were trying to control the action on the floor, and Figueiredo ended up grabbing Perez in a guillotine position. He dropped down to his guard, locked it in. Perez looked like he'd almost escaped it, but Figueiredo was able to kind of like adjust his position to make sure that move was locked in tight, squeezed up, and Perez had to tap, and Davison Figueiredo gets the victory. Very dynamic finish from Figueiredo, really well controlled. This guy's an absolute monster, and he's going to be a hard work for anybody in this division. I fear for whoever's coming up against him next. It's a very, very scary man there. So, yep, that was UFC 255 all wrapped up and in the books. Next week's show, we're back on a UFC Fight Night, and it's headlined by Curtis Blaydes taking on Derek Lewis in the heavyweight division. We've got quite a few heavyweights on this card. We've got Josh Parisian taking on Parker Porter. We've got Anthony Smith taking on Devin Clark. And the co-main event is a lightweight fight with Renato Moicano taking on Rafael Fiziev. So that'll be a very interesting card. Not a lot of huge names on that card, but as we've said many a time, that's usually when we see some of the better fights because these guys really want to put on a performance and push themselves up the rankings. So, yeah, definitely tune in to hear that from us next week. You can follow me on Twitter at DJ Kirby. Follow Carlos at Kirby_Carlos. Follow the networks at Shooting the Sports Ish, at Visionaries Global Media, and at Chairshot.com. Thank you all for listening. And that is the end.
Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.